The small boys came early to the hanging. It was still dark when the first three or four of them sidled out of the hovels, quiet as cats in their felt boots. A thin layer of fresh snow covered the little town like a new coat of paint, and theirs were the first footprints to blemish its perfect surface. They picked their way through the huddled wooden huts and along the streets of frozen mud to the silent marketplace, where the gallows stood waiting. The boys despised everything their elders valued. They scorned beauty and mocked goodness. They would hoot with laughter at the sight of a cripple, and if they saw a wounded animal, they would stone it to death. They boasted of injuries and wore their scars with pride, and they reserved their special admiration for mutilation. A boy with a finger missing could be their king. They loved violence. They would run miles to see bloodshed, and they never missed a hanging. One of the boys piddled on the base of the scaffold. Another mounted the steps, put his thumbs to his throat, and slumped, twisting his face into a grisly parody of strangulation. The others swooped in admiration, and two dogs came running into the marketplace, barking. A very young boy recklessly began to eat an apple, and one of the older ones punched his nose and took his apple. The young boy relieved his feelings by throwing a sharp stone at a dog, sending the animal howling home. Then there was nothing else to do, so they all squatted on the dry pavement in the porch of the big church, waiting for something to happen. Candlelight flickered behind the shutters of the substantial wood and stone houses around the square, the homes of prosperous craftsmen and traders, as scullery maids and apprentice boys lit fires and heated water and made porridge. The color of the sky turned from black to gray. The townspeople came ducking out of their low doorways, swathed in heavy cloaks of coarse wool, and went shivering down to the river to fetch water. Soon a group of young men, grooms and laborers and apprentices, swaggered into the marketplace. They turned the small boys out of the church porch with cuffs and kicks, then leaned against the carved stone arches, scratching themselves and spitting on the ground, and talking with studied confidence about death by hanging. "If he's lucky," said one, "his neck breaks as soon as he falls, a quick death and painless. But if not, he hangs there, turning red, his mouth opening and shutting like a fish out of water, until he chokes to death." And another said that dying like that can take the time a man takes to walk a mile. And a third said it could be worse than that. He had seen one where, by the time the man died, his neck was a foot long. The old women formed a group on the opposite side of the marketplace, as far as possible from the young men, who were liable to shout vulgar remarks at their grandmothers. They always woke up early, the old women, even though they no longer had babies and children to worry over, and they were the first to get their fires lit and their hearths swept. Their acknowledged leader, the muscular Widow Brewster, joined them, rolling a barrel of beer as easily as a child rolls a hoop. Before she could get the lid off, there was a small crowd of customers waiting, with jugs and buckets. The sheriff's bailiff opened the main gate, admitting the peasants who lived in the suburb, in the lean-to houses against the town wall. Some brought eggs and milk and fresh butter to sell. Some came to buy beer or bread, and some stood in the marketplace and waited for the hanging. Every now and again, people would cock their heads like wary sparrows and glance up at the castle on the hilltop above the town. They saw smoke rising steadily from the kitchen and the occasional flare of a torch behind the arrow-slit windows of the stone keep. Then, at about the time the sun must have started to rise behind the thick gray cloud, the mighty wooden doors opened in the gatehouse, and a small group came out. The sheriff was first, riding a fine black courser, followed by an ox cart carrying the bound prisoner. Behind the cart rode three men, and, although their faces could not be seen at that distance, their clothes revealed that they were a knight, a priest, and a monk. Two men-at-arms brought up the rear of the procession.